It's time for Green Visions, a KUMD production to encourage green thinking and green actions. Green Visions is made possible by the family-owned Duluth Grill. This morning, we are so excited to welcome a guest from Mexico into our studios. Dr. Marcos Algarra-Siller is our guest this morning, and he's talking about a couple of projects, and they're both worthy of a conversation in themselves, so we're going to have to try to mash them up into one conversation. Welcome so much. It's so good to have you here.
Good morning. Thank you.
You talk about sustainable education and sustainable farming practices on your radio show in Mexico. Is that right?
Well, I'm a host. I produce a radio show. It's on science, anything on science. So I have a colleague scientist coming to my weekly radio show, and we talk for an hour of whatever he or she is doing, the students, the kind of research, the travels. And the purpose of my show is to encourage undergrad students to pursue a scientific life.
Fantastic.
So it's got to be, you know, attractive to tell them, you know, if you get a grant and you're doing a master's, you could go to Brazil to a congress. You could go to Europe for this and that. You can have a fancy lab, you know. So make it attractive for students.
Boy, and that is happening more and more, though. I think students are seeing more and more opportunities, whether they come from television shows and pop culture, or just the emphasis on STEM learning, or just when they start to take a look at salaries and look at how are they going to support themselves, or are they going to be able to support themselves. It's looking more and more attractive. Let's talk just briefly, because I think that this is a fascinating piece of the puzzle, about this collaborative online international learning. And it's a way for UMD students, for example, here in Duluth, to be learning alongside, is it your students in Mexico? So how does it work? What kinds of gadgets and gigas and things do you need to make it work?
This is a SUNY initiative in New York and the State Department, the U.S. State Department, and they are trying to push forward how to collaborate in a very easy, let's say, not that as expensive as living in the country, which might be paying for living expenses and obviously flying out to any country that the student might like to go. So what they do is they develop this system, online system. This is not like a system. This is like a very flexible, probably, mindset, I would say, that we are encouraged to think about all the possibilities. And what was very interesting in the workshop we had in Mexico, that was with David Searing here from UMD last June, I believe it was. We listened to so many people talking about how they use even Facebook for teaching and research purposes. It was like, Facebook? It was like, cool. Cool, you know?
Exactly. But,
and I can tell you that it, I mean, not being very conscious myself about that. It's been a long time since I decided to communicate with my students with Facebook. I email them. They never read their emails. They have a cell phone. They have broadband.
Sure.
And I was like, I didn't read it. It's been 3 days since I opened my last email. I was like, why? But ask them about Facebook, and they get Facebook alerts every single five minutes.
Oh, so, at least.
Okay, at least. So it's been working for me, sometimes even advising through inbox, and some probably, you know, there's a deadline for a draft, for a thesis, whatever, abstract or something. They just inbox at me and read it wherever I am and send some observations back. It's just very quick.
And so, you can use Skype?
Skype, Hangouts, Google Drive.
Sure.
And we just found out, I really didn't know, but they put us through a lot of tools on the web.
Mm-hmm.
The audience have heard about SurveyMonkey, which is very common. I've used it several times. It's just a free way to conduct a 10-question. It's free for 10, I think, and if you go longer, you pay.
Sure.
It's survey, so you get an email list, and you get service, and it gives you back the statistics and such, and who logged in and such. There's plenty of them. So probably tens and hundreds of them to make graphs, short videos, whatever you need to do for free, not having a software in your computer.
So you're taking, basically what you're doing is you're taking all of these different tools of social media that humanity has evolved so that we can look at videos of cats and show photographs of what we had for supper, and you are co-opting these things and using them to teach people.
Yes, and
wow,
the cross-cultural part of it, I was very, very happy when I heard this. So many people saying, oh, okay, yeah, you can be whatever, arts classes, German teacher, whatever you are. But the most interesting part of this is how are you going to promote the cross-cultural interchange. So it's not like we want to focus on the content. You're the expert. You just do whatever you need to do.
Right.
We are focusing on how to achieve the cross-cultural interaction between people. So with David here, he's teaching in anthropology these participatory methods on anthropology research and such. And he's very eager, and he has done things with natives and food and some things about urban farming and such. And, well, I have an urban farming program in my own campus myself, but I am an environmentalist researcher. So what we do is I have environmental engineers. I will have next Monday, that's the time when we start in Mexico, 24 students, a meeting 2 hours in a row, twice a week, with UMD students, anthropologists in the same class. So it will be 20 plus 24, that will be 44 students. We will be three instructors, a colleague of mine and me and David here. So we will be teaching the whole bunch of them at the same time. And
that is fascinating.
It could be Spanish, English. It depends the country you're working with. So that's all also for languages skills.
Well, if we talk about how the world is shrinking and how we, you know, it is a global economy and everything is global, as you say, it isn't just about being an expert or listening to an expert. It's how do you meet new people?
Yep.
How do you meet people, you know, whose culture is different than yours, whose language is different than yours, who were perhaps educated in a completely different school system than you were? And how do you meet people and learn to get along with them?
Yes. So let's say one of the things that we're going to evaluate is, and we have to grade them, is they had to work in teams. That's something that we designed for this course specifically. So the students will have to, three and three, let's say, from each country, will have to have a team, and they will have to meet and work online by themselves. If they choose Skype or whatever, FaceTime, I don't know, whatever they want because of their kind of equipment, how they feel comfortable, and they had to give us proof of that work. So what they're going to do, I expect to have three of my students looking at their faces and taking a selfie, let's say Thursday night, you know, 10 p.m. or whatever, when I will see the screen monitor. So it will be a selfie of them with the UMD students talking at the same time.
I love the idea that teachers are all over the country are using the selfie and saying to their students, I expect a selfie of you at this event. You know, I want you to turn in the selfie, so I want to know that you were actually at the event, or in this case, doing the assignment. This is just genius. I just think this is genius. What a wonderful opportunity for your students and for our students, and what a great partnership. Have you done this before, or is this the first year?
Myself, first year, David also, but Dan Nolan, Languages Department, he has done it before.
Because I'm wondering how, if this is going to, you know, the old-fashioned pen pal, where you would write back and forth as a kid to a new friend. But I see a lot of potential here for these folks becoming friends with each other.
Well, we were speaking yesterday with the vice chancellor, UMD vice chancellor, and it was very, very, it made us so happy to understand what the higher officials in this university are thinking of. And he was saying that how it will exploit to have in these students, and how let's say an international company comes and says, okay, I want students from undergrad for this and that post, but if they don't have an international cultural experience, we don't want them. So he's thinking this COIL thing will encourage students to go out, at least for have a first encounter, and then probably say, I made very good friends with those guys in Mexico. Probably I'm going to ask David if I can go for a semester or a summer research program or something. And then they will come back, graduate, and then they will have the profile that many big international companies are looking for. So that's an added value that is now looked by the great companies.
That's fantastic. What a wonderful program. I wish we had a whole hour, but we are not like your station,
yes, okay.
Unfortunately. We don't have a whole hour, but thank you so much for joining us this
You're
morning.
You're welcome.
Dr. Marcos Algaracir was our guest this morning in the studio, talking about an exciting opportunity for UMD students to have dip their toes in an international experience, COIL learning. It's called Collaborative Online International Learning.